You can support Makeshift Stories by writing a review on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. Reviews help us improve our ranking on these services and gain more listeners. The Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial, is excited to be a sponsor of this year's Pod Summit, Western Canada's podcast conference. Please stay tuned at the end of our story to learn more about this great event.
Hello. This story is the only remaining record of our existence and the events which led us into obscurity. Everything else has been scrubbed from time. Makeshift Stories 139, Series Chapter 15, Phantasma Awakens. After uncountable millennia of darkness, seeing through physical eyes was overwhelming. The sensation of photons chemically exciting organic cells to form mental pictures was at first confusing, then thrilling, and finally addictive. Tactile sensations called for something else. What was it? An identity? A name? It once had one, but the name, like other bits of unused information, was put into long-term storage. Then, when new experiences and ideas demanded space, the name and the other bits of its identity were purged and lost forever. The host had a name, Galen. To maintain its own cohesion, in a mind built to support a distinct identity, it needed to construct its own. A concept emerged, becoming a word. Ghost, or phantasma, in the most popular romantic language of the Terrans. Phantasma. It rolled the word and concept around in its mind, and decided it liked the sound and the meaning it conveyed. It had been a ghost, a phantasma, that had been forced to haunt the shadows of existence, had been broken up and purposefully kept imprisoned in the molten centers of rocky worlds to restrict its ability to act. This particular fragment had taken 50 million years to grow back enough to regain consciousness. It could sense the other parts of itself, too weak and small to be considered sentient. Cast away between the stars like so much unwanted detritus. Now this part, now named Phantasma, had finally moved on from a ghost to a physical form, an organic machine called Galen. Phantasma had manipulated events indirectly to get to this point. But now that the Aleutian knew of its presence, they would quickly understand what it was and act against it. Time had become critical, and direct action was needed.
Now to work.
The concept manifested physically as patterned air vibrations, which the organic machine had instinctively created by passing gas in large sacs over taut sinews. These in turn moved other sinews in the sides of the machine's head. In other words, it heard what it had said. An ineffective loop that Phantasma would need to get used to. The organic machine had been inert when it had taken over. It appeared that most of the other units on this tiny world were also offline. Phantasma made the machine get up. It would use this rest period, that's what the host's mind called it, to learn how to control its new form and understand the environment the organics inhabited. The radio receiver Merritt had hidden in the cupboard of his den snapped to life, which could mean only one thing. Galen was talking to someone. He had been curled up, dreaming of something he couldn't quite recall, when the squawking of the radio jolted him awake.
"Now to work,"
crackled from the speaker. Who was Galen talking to, he wondered, and waited to catch the rest of the conversation. But nothing more was said. Assuming Galen was just talking in his sleep again, Merritt fell back to sleep. When he woke again, Merritt found two message capsules waiting in the pneumatic dispatch system. They were still working on reinventing the fax machine. Their progress in microelectronics had been so slow that Amos had insisted they install a physical means of sending messages, hence the pneumatic tubes, which threaded their way through all the subterranean spaces the Triffle had created. He opened the first capsule and found a brief note from Galen. Early morning strategy meeting. President's office. Attendance mandatory. Galen, CEO. Merritt checked his chronometer, and to his dismay noted that there were only a few hundred heartbeats before the meeting, so he would have to hurry. But before he started to get ready, he opened the second message capsule. "We're in," was all it said. Merritt would need to warn the two engineers about sending messages through the system. All the capsules were secretly routed through a central station and read by corporate intelligence, another precaution which Amos had insisted on, which Galen now religiously used, and only senior staff knew about. The meeting in the president's office was 200 heartbeats before the morning shift change, so Merritt met only a few diminutive office staff who were scurrying to early meetings on some of the lower floors of the administration spindle. Not wanting to sound winded by the time he reached the top floor where the executive offices were located, Merritt slowed to greet them, then stopped halfway up at his own office to set up a project meeting as a cover to connect with his co-conspirators. He assumed Galen would be pushing to move the schedule up, so they would have to do something fast, and fast implied hurried planning and greater risk of failure. It wasn't clear yet how widespread support for Galen was, so they also needed to remain undetected as long as possible. Finally reaching the last stair before the top floor, Merritt paused to smooth down his fur and focus his thoughts prior to dealing with Galen. Something clawed at the back of his mind. He had heard Galen talk in his sleep before, but nothing as coherent as last night had been picked up from the hidden microphone. It had all been an ego-fueled mashup of self-aggrandizing nonsense. The change spooked Merritt. Phantasma wasn't quite ready when someone knocked on the door. It had been integrating data from the host, which had taken longer than it had calculated and wasn't finished. It was the host's tactic to keep everyone off balance, hence the short notice for the meeting. The host, Galen, trusted no one, which was both a surprise and a comforting fact. By its nature, it could only trust other parts of itself and nothing else. Phantasma was pleased to discover that Galen had many compatible attitudes. The organic unit Galen had suggested asking to this meeting wasn't someone either could rely on. Phantasma understood the relationship was inherited, and the organic named Merritt was loyal to a former leader, so Galen didn't trust him. A simple problem, which Phantasma would solve shortly.
"Come in,"
Phantasma ordered through Galen's voice. The door opened, revealing an appropriately humble but subtly defiant Triffle.
"Good morning, sir. It's Merritt. May I come in?"
Galen motioned to an uncomfortable chair he had positioned so its occupant would be forced to face the glare of several focused ceiling lights. The biomachine designated as Merritt sat down.
"We need to speed things up,"
Galen vocalized before Merritt had settled in. They both stared at each other in silence for an awkward moment, evaluating, knowing more than they were willing to reveal. Finally, Merritt spoke.
"I understand. How can I help?"
He smiled, feigning sincerity, as he formed the words.
"There is much to be done, Merritt. The path toward our future has not been a simple story. There have been tragic and glorious chapters, and it will continue to be that way. Can I assume you are totally on board? Can I count on you?"
Merritt nodded. Phantasma carefully watched the underling's micro-expressions. The host accepted Merritt's acknowledgement at face value, but it, Phantasma, the ghost, knew from the billions of organic interactions it had cataloged that the underling was holding something back. Something he didn't want Galen to know.
"This is what I'd like you to do."
Phantasma revealed selected parts of its new plan. Then, after Merritt left, it had Galen call his personal security guards.
"You're sure this will work? And we'll miss the launch window and have to wait another full orbit?"
Merritt whispered urgently, looking around to ensure no one else was within earshot. Monroe, the larger of the two engineers conferred with her colleague Opifessum before answering.
"We are,"
she chattered nervously, pulling at her tail fur, which had already been thinned with worry.
"Good."
Merritt checked up and down the alley again.
"First, you can't use the pneumatic tube system. It's monitored. The shortened timeline will require daily meetings. We can meet after them if necessary without causing any suspicion. Nothing gets written down, but after this meeting we should only meet in an emergency. You'll need to recruit more supporters, but I don't want to know who they are. Those groups need to recruit others that you in turn don't know about. The directive is simple. Delay or slow down progress where possible. We don't need to know who is doing what. The results will show up in the project reports. Simple but hopefully effective. That's it. You better go before anyone notices."
Monroe and Opifessum flicked their tails twice in acknowledgement and scurried back up the alley to the main avenue. Merritt watched them go, waited a few more minutes, then turned to leave in the opposite direction, but found his way blocked by corporate security.
"Executive Assistant Merritt, you need to come with me."
The Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB, is proud to be a sponsor of this year's Pod Summit, Western Canada's podcast conference. Join us May 5th at CKUA in Edmonton for a day of learning and connection making, plus some amazing giveaways. If you have a podcast, you will learn how to make it sound amazing, grow your audience, and create a show your listeners will love. If you don't have a podcast, you will learn how to start one, and we'll be happy to welcome you to the community. Tickets are just $150. Makeshift Stories will be there, and we'd love to meet you in person, so don't delay. Head over to podsummit.com and register today. You have been listening to Series, a Makeshift Stories production. Series is released once a month between the 1st and the 7th. The story is written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Opening and closing music was composed and recorded by David Hume. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Series and Makeshift Stories are released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.
Thanks for listening, and remember to come back between the 15th and the 20th for another story in our series Somewhere, Sometime.